It's time to take the quiz.
5 questions, 5 minutes a day, 5 days a week.
Take the quiz every weekday at thequiz.fox and then listen to the quiz podcast to find out how you did.
Play, share, and of course, listen to the quiz at thequiz.fox.
I'm Will Kane.
I'm Janice Dean.
I'm Greg Gutfeld, and this is the Fox News Rundown.
Thursday, April 18th, 2024. I'm Eben Brown. Police finally break up the mob at Columbia University chanting for death to America and to Jews, begging the question why America's universities are allowing it in the first place.
The incitement is intentional. The provocation is intentional, and it is no surprise at all that that then does spin into mob-like behavior that results in harassment and assault.
This is the Fox News Rundown Evening Edition.
Jason in the House, the Jason Chaffetz Podcast. Dive deeper than the headlines and the party lines as I take on American life, politics, and entertainment. Subscribe now on foxnewspodcast.com or wherever you download podcasts.
Police in New York City today began removing an encamped group of anti-Israel demonstrators from the campus of Columbia University just a day after its president, Dr. Manoush Shafiq, endured a grilling during a congressional hearing on the campus's notable anti-Jewish violence and rhetoric, from professors' lectures to violent protests. It's easily seen on social media.
We are Hamas!
You're Hamas, wow. You're what? You're Hamas?
Yes, we're all Hamas!
From a video posted to X, the former Twitter, chants break out repeating slogans and lines from terrorist groups who openly admit they seek to kill Jews. These protesters, many believed to be students, were today forcibly removed after blocking public spaces at the university, but also for harassing and intimidating students they believed to be Jewish.
There had been several warnings issued to these students who were camped out in what they called a Gaza solidarity encampment, but Columbia University president, she released a statement saying that she finally authorized the NYPD to come in and sweep the premises. She said that, you know, she reiterated multiple warnings had been issued, and she also said multiple campus policies had been violated by these students' actions. And so sure enough, we are seeing students that are getting removed from the premises.
Fox's C.B. Cotton reporting from the Columbia campus. But Columbia University isn't the only one. Since the October 7th attack, in which Jews were the targets of Hamas jihadists, campus-based violence against Jews in the U.S. is spiking. There have been physical attacks. There has been vandalism. But how do American kids know this stuff? American university students are famous for political protests. The demonstrations against the Vietnam War in the 1960s were part and parcel of American history, considered to have helped shape a generation. But why are these students so vicious, so vitriolic? Where did they learn it was okay to threaten, to intimidate, to make school unsafe? And why does it take so long and so much scrutiny for campus officials to step in? Is it because the targets are Jews?
It's a kind of bad news, good news situation.
Adam Lehman is the president and chief executive of Hillel International. Hillel is the largest umbrella organization for Jewish groups on campus. Practically every school from community colleges to Ivy League institutions has one. And while they're usually focused on ensuring kids away at school have the ability to live their Jewish lives socially and religiously, they've had to turn much of their attention to the rising levels of Jew hatred on campus, like at Columbia, but elsewhere.
We've seen this activism, which, you know, frankly, starts, I think, in many cases as we'll call it political activism, but often devolves into just utter demonization of Israel in the most intense, unprincipled and propaganda oriented ways. We've been seeing this for a few decades.
Yeah.
And, you know, we should not kid ourselves. It's been a well-financed, well-organized effort that has ties back to, you know, forces in the Middle East that continue to fight their own battles there. So that's bad news number one. Bad news number two, to your question, it's been incredibly intense all year. We're up to 1,300 documented instances of anti-Semitism. Wow. On campus, many of which do tie back to these protests. A protest in and of itself, that happens, that's okay. Yet, again, these protests often devolve into targeted harassment of individual students, into actual violence. We have 54 physical assaults that we've documented, into vandalism, where we have more than 400 instances of really hateful. It's not simply promoting a cause. It is tearing down Jews, again, demonizing and calling for the death to Zionists and things of that nature. So, and we've seen really in a very disturbing way, this dynamic get worse, not better, since October 7th. I had hoped that as we got to the second semester, we might actually see more administration action to rein it in, and with that, a calmer environment. And if anything, we've seen even more of this out-of-control activism. And you started with the episode of Columbia. Fortunately, what we've seen at Columbia yesterday and today is, I'd like to say, pretty much as bad as it gets, but it is by no means unique. Just a few weeks ago at Berkeley, we had hundreds of students descend on an academic event with a speaker, break windows. I mean, it just looked like an out-of-control, chaotic rebellion. And two students were assaulted. So we are seeing this in many places.
There is a certain, call it a memory or call it an illustration of when a mob comes for Jews and glass is broken and people are assaulted. That is incredibly frightening, I think, to many American Jews, especially perhaps Ashkenaz Jews, whose parents, grandparents, great-grandparents survived World War II, but certainly not totally unique to them. But that's almost by design, isn't it? I mean, these mobs come across as out of control, but some of them are, they know what they're doing, it seems like.
Oh, they absolutely do. And it, certainly the ringleaders do. I will say, and I don't mean to be rude or pejorative, but they're useful idiots who may not actually know what they're signing up for when they show up at one of these protests. But but the ringleaders, they have their chance. And again, the playbook is shared across hundreds of campuses and organizations like Students for Justice in Palestine. And they know that they are using very specifically insightful language that does tie back to, for example, globalizing the Intifada. And the Intifada was a movement that specifically was designed to kill innocent civilians in Israel. And that, you know, carried on for a period of years and murdered thousands of Israelis in the process. They use language, again, like death to Zionists, or we're beginning to see death to America pop up at some of these protests.
Right.
So the incitement is intentional. The provocation is intentional, and it is no surprise at all that that then does spin into mob-like behavior that results in harassment and assault.
I mean, those chanting those slogans, death to America, death to Israel, those are the slogans of terrorist groups. I mean, legitimate terrorist groups like Hamas. I mean, those are words from their own charter. And yet we've seen the heads of these institutions, even when brought in front of Congress, kind of hem and haw when they're questioned directly about it. They give the president of Columbia University just the other day, but we saw it with the president of Harvard, where they cannot equivocally say that these types of things violate their campus policies. So as someone who helps to coordinate these Jewish groups, and Hillel is the largest of affiliated Jewish campus groups. How do you deal with that? What do you tell the local chapters, which are often just really student run? They may have campus advisors who may be very good or may be very lackadaisical, but how do you help them deal with this?
Yeah, well, I mean, it starts actually with the structure of our organization. To your point, we are the largest Jewish student organization in the world. And we actually have 1,300 paid professionals who, fortunately, for the most part, are able to promote Jewish joy, Jewish observance, service you know, what we call TZEDEC or Tikkun Olam, ways right. to serve their campus community or broader community. So that's the bulk of the work, you know, learning, mm-hmm. cross-cultural exchange. But increasingly, we have trained those professionals to, number one, be able to provide triage support for students who are impacted. Number two, to do advocacy with their administration. And at our umbrella level of Hill International, we built up an entire set of programs to both educate university leaders on what they can and must do to improve the campus climate, and then to promote accountability by enforcing Title VI, a civil rights act that says they're not allowed to enable a pervasively hostile and discriminatory environment to persist. And I should point out, this is not rocket science. As you were alluding to with the hemming and hawing of presidents who have come before Congress, if they simply have rules there to protect the safety and well-being of all students and enforce those policies, that's 80% of the battle. And you really have to scratch your head and say, why are they so afraid to do so? What are the interest groups, forces that are preventing them from taking control of their campuses? Now, there is a higher level to aspire to. And again, this is very core to Hill's work. They, you know, ironically, institutions of higher education are not educating. They're allowing propaganda and just bottled discrimination to rule the day. How can they educate students when it comes to what's going on in the Middle East? What is the history of Israel? What is the history of the Jewish people and their attachment to Israel? What is the history of Palestinians? What's going on in Gaza and the West Bank? Why is there nuance and complexity to this conflict? That needs to be the dialogue and discussion. And they also need to insist on a higher level of responsibility for students and faculty. It's not a campus does not exist as a pure political platform. It is there to be a community of learning. And so how can you promote dialogue across difference? There are campuses, my undergraduate alma mater, Dartmouth, that are actually taking some positive steps in that direction. And my more than hope, my insistence is that other universities get on the same, you know, the same bus.
We are speaking with Adam Lehman. He is the president and CEO of Hillel International, the network of Jewish college student groups on campuses around the world, on the rising anti-Semitism on campus and how it's gone from rhetoric to violence. On the Fox News Rundown Evening Edition, we'll have more straight ahead. You mentioned the propaganda that is propagating on these campuses, and you're talking about outside influences and special interests. I mean, does it get discussed enough who funds a lot of this? There was a bombshell report, I guess maybe just a couple of months ago, and a lot of us kind of knew this already, but it's kind of put it down on paper that Qatar is funding a lot of these think tanks and a lot of these campuses. And that in and of itself is a problem. And there may be a right for Qatari groups to be doing this, but does this mean the other side has to sort of play the same battle?
Yes. In a word, yes.
Yeah.
We again can't be naive in the same way that I think people are waking up to the role of China, Russia, and Iran in social media in terms of, you know, overnight you suddenly have 100 million new accounts that are promoting anti-Semitic tropes and rhetoric. We have to wake up to the reality that there have been billions of dollars invested into these universities to promote a particular political mindset and agenda. And the fight back has to be to not give up on the American Academy. It's a $1 trillion ecosystem that is still very defining of our culture and our future. We need to take campus back and not let it be treated like a pinata for these other political interests, global interests, and the like. I go back to the fact it's not that hard. Let's invest in free thinking, you know, viewpoint diversity that prioritizes learning and open dialogue. Because we've seen that it can be done in prior chapters of American history, and you know, that can prevail again. It's just going to take a focused effort of trustees of universities,
right,
you know, donors to universities, and university leaders.
I think some of the other issues that people might have are that some of the some of this propaganda is brought into the classroom by professors. In fact, that was part of the critique of Columbia's president, was that she had not done enough or anything, perhaps, maybe to chastise or somehow sanction some professors on campus that were didn't, for instance, bring up any kind of study of the October 7th attacks to say, well, let's look at both sides. Let's see what both sides are saying, but outright praise them, calling them, for one professor called it awesome. And 1,200 Jews were killed, 1,200 Israelis, I should say. So most of them were Jews, but there were non-Jews among them. And this is a tenured professor who, you know, it's pretty hard to discipline them. So how much of a problem is that, too?
That's an enormous problem. I mean, honestly, if you ask me what are the three biggest intractable aspects of these issues, faculty is clearly one of those top three. They're permanent residents on campus. Again, there's a monoculture and monothink. And even beyond how they may choose to communicate in their private lives, when they use their classrooms to live out political fantasies, that is abusive. And it actually violates their own principles of the American Association of University Professors. Students are entitled to academic freedom as well and not be subjected to the political rants that we hear from faculty all over the place. Or they're actually building it into the classroom. We have dozens, if not at this point, hundreds of instances where a professor, and it could be a math professor at this point, often yeah. It's humanities or social sciences, but it's really, again, become pervasive, will say, I'm giving extra credit to students who go to the protest where they're burning Israeli flags or calling Jewish students on campus baby killers. I'm giving extra credit, or I'm canceling class all week so students can engage in these protests. That's just wrong. And unfortunately, as you said, there are not great accountability mechanisms. It was one of my disappointments with President Shafeek's testimony. Better late than never, but they are at least beginning to enforce disciplinary codes with students. They need to more than talk to faculty. They actually need to fire faculty. And where are the principled leaders in academia who are going to say, I understand I may be challenging principles of academic freedom, but I'm going to take that risk because, again, I want my faculty to aspire to the highest levels. Just quickly, the other two biggest issues are social media, again, that has become such a cesspool for anti-Semitism, as well as other forms of discrimination. And then just the way that monoculture has led to just uniform bias when it comes to so many young people today. We have data showing there are more than 30% of students in many campuses who won't even be friends with or talk to a Jewish student because they hold this deep-seated belief that Jews are somehow inherently evil or bad. And again, they're not even asking that student, what do you think about the two-state solution? Or what did you think about this aspect of the Israeli response to October 7th? They're just, again, from a place of discrimination, holding hate in their hearts.
Once again, proving anti-Zionism is, in fact, anti-Semitism, I think.
Correct.
Adam Lehman, you are the president and CEO of Hillel International, the largest group, a network of campus Jewish groups across the world. Thank you so much for being with us on the Fox News Rundown Evening Edition.
Thank you, Evan.
You've been listening to the Fox News Rundown. And now, stay up to date by subscribing to this podcast at foxnewspodcasts.com. Listen ad-free on Fox News Podcasts Plus on Apple Podcasts. And Prime members can listen to the show ad-free on Amazon Music. And for up-to-the-minute news, go to foxnews.com. From the Fox News Podcasts Network.
Hey there, it's me, Kennedy. Make sure to check out my podcast, Kennedy Saves the World. It is 5 days a week, every week. Download and listen at foxnewspodcast.com or wherever you listen to your favorite podcast.